Part 7, Chapter 6. In the clear, cold noon, they were on their way for a first look at the load. Johnny, Robert the Fox, the three who looked similar to Johnny, and the two Scott mining shift leaders who had been appointed sped along in the small personnel carrier, high above the grandeur of the Rockies. Turl had come early that morning, threatening and secretive. His ground car had been spotted sometime since by a posted sentry, and Johnny had been warned. Wrapped in a puma skin against the dawn chill, Johnny met the ground car as it stopped. Breakfast was just over in the mess hall, and a warning had been sent to stay inside. The grounds were nearly deserted, and there was nothing to distract Turl's attention. He got out, tightening his breathe mask, and stood there tossing the remote control box idly into the air and catching it in his paw.
"Why?"
said Turl.
"Are you interested in a uranium detector?"
Johnny frowned and looked mystified, or tried to.
"I heard after you left the other day that you repaired the ore duster with a picto recorder around your neck. Ha!"
Johnny decided on a sudden verbal attack.
"You expect me to go up into those mountains without knowing what to avoid? You expect me to go tearing around, getting myself wrecked?"
"Wrecked?"
"Physically wrecked from uranium contamination."
"See here, animal. You can't talk this way to me."
"When you know very well that I could be made sick if I didn't avoid uranium dust. You've told me there's uranium up there, and you expect me..."
"Wait a minute. What are you talking about?"
"Mining toxicology."
Johnny turned. The kilted sentry who had called him was standing by the mess hall door, looking daggers and dirks at Turl.
"Sentry!"
shouted Johnny.
"Grab a book, any book in English, and bring it here, fast."
Johnny turned back to Turl. The running footsteps of the sentry could be heard inside the building. Turl put the control box back in his pocket so his gun paw could be free, just in case. The sentry rushed out with an ancient volume labeled The Poems of Robert Burns. He had snatched it from the parson who was reading at breakfast. It would have to do. Johnny snapped it open. He put his finger on a line that said, "We sleek it, cowrin timorous beastie."
"See there?"
he demanded of Turl.
"In the presence of uranium, a man's hair falls out. His teeth fall out. His skin develops red blotches, and his bones crumble. And it happens in just a few weeks of exposure."
"You don't explode?"
"It doesn't say anything here about explosion, but it says that continuous exposure to uranium dust can be fatal. Read it yourself."
Turl looked at a line that said something about, "Oh, what a panic's in thy breastie," and said,
"So it does. I didn't know that."
"You know it now,"
said Johnny. He closed and thumped the book.
"I found this by accident. You didn't tell me. Now, are you going to let me have a detector, or aren't you?"
Turl looked thoughtful.
"So, your bones turn to dust, do they? And it takes a few months?"
"Weeks,"
said Johnny. Turl began to laugh. His paw dropped from his belt gun, and he swatted himself in the chest, catching his breath.
"Well,"
he said at length,
"I guess you'll just have to take your chances, won't you?"
It hadn't worked. But Turl was totally off the scent now, actually feeling more secure.
"That wasn't what I came over here for anyway. Can we go someplace less public?"
Johnny handed the book back to the sentry with a wink to reassure him. The Scot had enough sense not to grin. But Turl was rummaging around the ground car.